How can you allow the Word of God to reveal your condition? That's what we're going to discover in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us. We're in a great series right now called Hebrews, Partners with Christ. We've got a cool new book by that same title, and it's written by Dr. Kenneth Yates. We're really excited to have Ken in the studio with us for the duration of this series. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Ken Yates, Dr. Bob Wilkin, and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus, where we like to put the focus on God's grace, both at the moment of salvation, which is by faith apart from works, but also in living the Christian life. We don't want to just leave you with the message of how to be born again and then just kind of like leave you to grow on your own, not knowing how or what to do as a young believer. We want to help you grow to spiritual maturity. And one of the books that is absolutely essential to that growth process is the book of Hebrews. And recently, Dr. Ken Yates, PhD in New Testament from Dallas Seminary, wrote a commentary on Hebrews that we published called Hebrews, Partners with Christ. It's available at our website, faithalone.org, or on amazon.com. And we invited Dr. Yates, Ken, to come into the studio, and we were going to record a series of messages just going through this book. And so far, I've been so excited just delving into this material with him and Bob, and I've been learning so much, so I'm pretty sure you guys have been learning a lot, too. If you want to hear previous episodes, go to iTunes.com and subscribe to Grace in Focus, or go to our website and listen in, and certainly tune into this station. We are in chapter 4, and we're starting at verse 11, and I wondered, Bob, if you can start us off.
We're at the end of the second warning passage in Hebrews, and in verse 11, he says, another one of these let us verses, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart."
Interesting. Let's stop there.
Yeah.
In the previous verses, the author of Hebrews said that the wilderness generation heard the gospel, but it didn't profit them because it was not mixed with faith. He doesn't want the same thing to happen to his readers. And so now he's saying, be diligent to enter this rest. There's this future rest that God wants for his people. And somehow that is connected with the word of God, apparently, because verse 11, be diligent to enter your rest. And verse 12, he starts talking about the word of God. What is the connection?
Well, there's a couple things that's going on here. Number one, we see that it's not talking about eternal salvation from hell, because we have to be diligent to do this. And this rest, as we've seen, involves work. We don't want to follow in the same example of disobedience where the people at Kadesh Barnea did not trust in God to take care of their obstacles. But it is interesting that the author connects this to the Word of God. And there's a couple ways we can look at this. Number one, it could be talking about the judgment seat of Christ, that we will be judged. But I think more likely what's going on here is that the Word of God has a vital role in how we live as Christians. For one of the things it does here is that it's able to show us what our intentions and motives are. And if I could just for a little bit talk about that, it is that these people were thinking about leaving Christianity and going back to Judaism. Perhaps what the author has in mind is that they were probably convincing themselves, well, I can serve God better as a Jew if it's legal than being persecuted as a Christian. But the Word of God is able to expose our real motives and intentions. We're not doing it to please God. We're doing it because that's what we want.
So the Word of God is living and powerful. It can reveal the thoughts and intents of your heart. And, of course, that is going to be, you know, very important in growing in the Christian life and kind of examining yourselves, whether you're shying away for the right reasons. I mean, what kind of thoughts and intents do you think the readers of Hebrews were having that needed to be revealed?
Well, I think one of the things they were going on is that they were, for those who were thinking of abandoning the Christian faith, they were rationalizing it. And the Word of God plays a vital role in the context of Hebrews. Number one, it teaches us about these coming rewards, the privilege and blessing of reigning with Christ. But when we're faced with difficulties, our flesh can get involved and we can start rationalizing why we may not remain faithful to the Lord. But the Word of God is able to pierce through all that to our inner thoughts and motives.
So we want to grow spiritually as Christians. We need to expose ourselves to the teaching of God's Word.
Well, this is like Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Or 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image by the work of the Spirit. So yes, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and changes us. And isn't it an interesting figure that the Bible is a sharp, two-edged sword?
Yes, and I think as believers, this is a vital role that the Word of God has. It can reveal to me not just how I'm supposed to live, but also reveal to me, again, when my motives and my intentions are not correct. Because when we seek the approval of the world or the security of the world, as what was going on here with these original readers, the Word of God is able to cut through all of that and reveal to us these things.
Well, that's pretty intimidating. Thank goodness that, you know, we can hide from God so He doesn't know what we're doing.
Where'd right? you come up with that one?
Isn't
no,
that right? Can't
no,
I hide? I have
no.
a lead-lined closet. He can't see what I'm
no,
doing in there, right?
No, this isn't like Superman.
Oh,
something.
Wait a second. What does the next verse say? And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Well, that blows that theory out of the water.
That's exactly
so God
right.
knows all that we're doing all the time.
And I love this verse because the verb that is used, having been laid open, was a term referred to a wrestling match. The idea of being naked, my understanding is that when men wrestled in the first century, they did it naked. And this laid open is a hold in which your neck was exposed. And so it's a very picturesque description that before God's Word, we are literally naked with someone having a hold on us, and we are completely open to the eyes of God. And again, in the context of the original readers, whatever excuses they were given to going back to Judaism, the Word of God lays us open to that. And it's true for us as well.
And also, Ken, what about this giving an account? Actually, it's halagos. It's the Word.
Yeah.
But it's understood as the account. What is this looking at?
Well, I believe that's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And I know it's account, but literally if you translate it, to whom we have a word. He will have His Word with us. And certainly that's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. When God will have His Word with us, were we faithful to Him? And again, at the judgment seat of Christ, as we've said repeatedly, this has nothing to do with whether I'm going to heaven or hell. If I'm at the judgment seat of Christ, I'm already with the Lord. But I will give an account of the life that I've done. Was I faithful to Him?
So is it the Word that is alive in verse 12? Is the Word that He's going to give us in verse 13? There's got to be a connection there, right?
Yes. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and one day He will have His Word with us. Yes.
But if that is scary, here's something that's comforting. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So if we find ourselves exposed to the Word of God, and maybe it's doing its cutting work in our lives, and that can be very painful, and we're opened to the Word, and we're exposed to the Word, and our throats are exposed, we might feel really bad about that, and we probably should. But we have some place to go.
Yes, and something I don't think we've mentioned is that after these warning passages, it's the habit of the author to end on a positive note. Because when we read these warning passages, we say, wow, I'm depressed now. Look at me. But here he does this at the end of this long warning passage. And you're absolutely right. We have a great high priest who, because he became a man, chapter 2, he knows what we are going through. He knows what it's like to be tempted. And we can go to Him, and He's able to sympathize with what we are going through, with our weaknesses, and we can go to Him to find the mercy and grace that we need as we are exposed to our shortcomings, our failures. So absolutely, this ends on a very positive note that we can go to our Savior, who's also our High Priest.
I'm thinking about how people normally react when they sin. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they felt so guilty, they hid from God. And I think a lot of people, when they sin, they just feel so guilty, they avoid going to church. They don't want to see Christians. They're trying to avoid God because their guilt is making them flee. But the author of Hebrews is saying, you should have the exact opposite reaction. You should come boldly to the throne of grace because we have this high priest.
That's a great point because, again, these original readers were seriously contemplating leaving him, fleeing from him, turning their backs on him. And what's so encouraging here is that in spite of our weaknesses, we can go boldly to the throne of grace. And when you realize who Christ is, as he says in chapter 1 and 2, that he's God, he's the creator, he's without sin, how in the world can we boldly go into his presence? Well, the author of Hebrews is about to talk about that because of what Christ has done for us.
And this grace we find in time of need is God's favor. It seems to me what the author of Hebrews is saying is there aren't going to be any excuses at the judgment seat of Christ. We can't say, well, I didn't have the ability to please you. I didn't have the necessary power. The Spirit of God wasn't available to me. The Word of God wasn't available to me. Jesus wasn't helping me. No, that's not true. The Lord Jesus is helping me. If I'm walking with him, he's sending his angels to help me because I'm on the way to inheriting this future rulership with Christ. And so wouldn't you say, Ken, that this is all talking about the fact that really we're without excuse?
Absolutely. We see what a great Savior we have here because not only did he do everything we needed to receive eternal life as a free gift, but he's also done everything that is necessary for us to live a life that brings honor and glory to him and reign with him.
Right. If you've messed up, if you have failed in the Christian life and you know it, don't run away from God. He doesn't want you to run away from him. If you've sinned, he wants you to run to him, to his son, the great high priest. And what you're going to find there is not further condemnation. What you're going to find, according to the author of Hebrews, is mercy and grace and help in the time of need. I do hope that you'll continue listening to this program because we have so much more to say about how to grow to spiritual maturity so that you too can become a partner with Christ in the kingdom to come.
Thanks, guys, for that great discussion on the value of God's Word. I know we could all use a reminder like that on a daily basis. Would you like to grow in your understanding of the book of Hebrews? A great way to do just that would be to get a copy of Dr. Kenneth Yates' new book, Hebrews Partners with Christ. You can do that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Click on the button that says Store or put the title in the search bar, and that'll take you right to it. While you're on the site, you ought to take a look at all of the free materials we have. One great example is our podcast. You can listen to previous episodes of this show, and subscribing is completely free. So take advantage of that. You know, we like to hear from listeners. That means we would love to hear from you. I'll give you our email address so that you can send us questions, feedback, or comments about the show. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the program, we're going to talk about Christ's role as high priest. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.